Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
In our families, in walking with God. And we've got an opportunity, men, this Saturday. We have our men's breakfast. We've got a special speaker coming in, the author of a book called Cavemen, who gets men together in these groups. He calls them cavemen groups. So we're going to talk about being guys, what's male spirituality look like, how can we come together and support each other in growing as men in walking with God. So that's 8 o'clock right here in the atrium. Come, bring someone with you. It's going to be a great time. But Enoch walked with God. Enoch was a guy. He was a husband. He was a father. He had a job. He still found a way to walk with God. So how do we walk with God in our life? Well, the first thing I'd like you to write down on your notes is you've got to have a destination. And your destination has to be God. Now, I know that sounds pretty simple. But there's a couple different kinds of walks that you can do. One walk is you walk out of your house and you just kind of go wherever. You just walk around and wherever you happen to be led, that's where you end up. And sometimes those walks are fun. But if you want to get somewhere, then you have to decide, I'm going to go here and I'm going to kind of go in this direction because I want to get there. So one of the questions that we need to ask ourselves is, what's the destination? What's the direction that my life is going towards? And the point of life is to know God. The point of life is to walk with Jesus and that everything would flow out of our relationship with Jesus. Not that we would just become good moral people, and the Bible is filled with great principles. If you just do the principles in the Bible, your life's probably going to go pretty good. But it's not just about those principles. It's about knowing God. It's about knowing Jesus. It's about being a follower of the God-man, Christ Jesus. There's a story about a couple ladies who walked with Jesus, that tells us something about how to make that destination God work. It says in Luke 10, now what happened is they went, that he, speaking of Jesus, entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. So that's a great thing. And she had a sister called Mary who also, and I want you to notice that word also, that means that both of them did this, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Martha and Mary were two of Jesus' favorite people in the whole world because they sat at his feet and listened to his word. It says, but Martha was distracted with much serving. So she's getting things ready, she's cooking lunch, she's got the microwave going, the double ovens, everything's going, she's trying to keep things from burning. So she's busy and distracted about all this serving, and she approaches Jesus and she says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? See, a little bit of an attitude going on there. We all agree? Yeah, a little attitude between the sisters going on. But Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. So what's Jesus saying here? Is Jesus saying that we're not to serve? That all we're to do is just to sit at Jesus' feet 24/7. It's just all we do. We don't work. No one does anything around the church or their community. No. Jesus is into serving. Jesus served people. I'm thankful that tonight we had people up here on the stage serving us with their gifts. I'm thankful that we had ushers serving us with their gifts. I'm thankful we have people watching children right now so that we can be in here maybe a little less distracted if we had all these kids running around. We've got youth leaders on the other side pouring the Word of God into our youth. They're all serving. God's into serving. But what this story shows us is that there's a time to serve and there's a time to sit. Now, some of you are great servants. And so the word of the Lord to you tonight is you need to make some time to sit because you're going all the time. You're volunteering for everything. You're busy with this. You're busy with that. You're running the kids here and there. You're taking care of your parents. Whatever you're doing, you're busy all the time. And if you're going to have your destination be God, you're going to have to carve out some time to be with God. Now, others of you or more like me. You're pretty good at carving out your time, but when you go into your time with Jesus, many times you're still serving in your mind and in your heart. You're distracted. That is one of the biggest things that I personally struggle with, is that when I'm having my devotional time with God, actually being there and my destination being God, not planning my day, figuring out my next message, figuring out how I'm going to solve this problem, figuring out what to do with this or that situation, but actually just being with God. So which one are you? Are you the person that needs to carve some time out? Needs to say, okay, I've got to somewhere cut out something, do less of something, so that I have some destination God time in my life? Or are you more like me? You have the time, but your brain, your heart, many times it's elsewhere. And you need to learn and ask God to help you to focus so that you're not sitting at Jesus' feet, but you're distracted while you're there. So Enoch, he had a destination. The reason that Enoch was able to walk with God is that he thought walking with God was an important thing to do. And therefore, he was able to walk that way. Now, what was this path like? What was it like for Enoch? Now, we don't have a whole lot of verses about Enoch in the Bible. So we have to look at those verses and try to figure out, okay, what's his life like? What's going on around him? We already know that he is married and he has a family and he's got to have a job. So just knowing that alone, we know that Enoch's a busy guy. We know that Enoch's got to purposely carve time out. He's got to purposely lead his family in this walk with God. But there's other things that we find out about Enoch in other places in the Bible. And what I want you to write down for path is that I want you to write down uphill. And then we'll read the verse and I'll explain to you what I mean. The path is uphill. In the book of Jude, Enoch comes up. And it says this in Jude. It says, "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Here's what we know about Enoch. Enoch lived in a time when the world was fast approaching the flood. And what brought on the flood, and Blake will talk more about this next week, but what brought on the flood was that the world had become so wicked that God had no choice, but he had to start all over again. So here's Enoch, this godly man, and all around him, things are going downhill fast. And the only thing that we know about him beyond this and another scriptures we're going to look at in the book of Hebrews is this prophecy. So this prophecy kind of sums up the world around him. This prophecy sums up his neighborhood. This prophecy might sum up some of his family members, his extended family members. This prophecy probably sums up a lot of the people that he worked with, that he lived in a very, very ungodly time. So because of that, his walking with God was even more difficult than it would have been, even in the best of times, being a husband, a dad, and carrying a job. When my kids were younger, we used to love to go on bike rides, and we had this thing that I called the attach bike. And the attach bike would attach to my bike. It had one wheel, and it had pedals, but you couldn't steer it. So you could put a kid on it who was pretty young, and they're probably not going to get hurt unless they just fall off the thing. And we would just pedal along on the bike paths. We'd have a great time. And it wouldn't really matter all that much whether the kid was really pedaling or not, because you could just all kind of go on together. But when it would matter is when we would make this right-hand turn at the end of the bike path where we would kind of go to, and we'd make this right-hand turn, all of a sudden we had to go up this really steep hill. And we would begin up that hill, I would say, Jonathan, man, you got to start pedaling. Because all of a sudden, the weight of that attach bike and his weight, all of a sudden, if he wasn't pedaling, it was super, super noticeable. You know what I'm talking about? That's kind of how life is. Sometimes you're on a nice bike path, and you're just cruising along. You never really happen to put a whole lot of effort into it. But other times we hit these seasons in life when it's uphill and it matters whether or not we're pedaling with everything we've got. Enoch lived in that kind of a time. He lived in a time when it mattered whether or not he was pedaling. He couldn't just coast along. He couldn't make it just because he's in a great church and all he has to do is just kind of flow along with everybody else. We don't know even how many people were even walking with God at this point. It may not have been that large of a number. So he had to pedal hard uphill. So when you get to those difficult times, you get to those trying times, you get to those times when you just want to like say, I just want to give up on all this. That's when you got to pedal harder. That's when you got to put more into it. Because if you're going to walk with God, it's not all going to be a flat bike path. There's going to be times when it's going to be uphill. There's going to be times when it might be severe. You might be in some severe uphill right now. But if you keep pedaling, God will be with you. And the good news is, God's on the attach bike. And when he starts putting his legs to work, it's good. So his path was uphill, and a lot of times your path and my path is uphill as well. Now next, the method. Write down humility. Now the Bible doesn't actually say that Enoch was humble, but we do know the Bible says repeatedly that God draws the humble to himself, that he's close with those that are humble. So we know there's no way that God is taking Enoch. Enoch, first of all, he's one of only two people in the history of the world to go to heaven without dying. So we know that if he's one of only two people, it's him and Elijah, that's it. If God's going to say, boy, you know, I just love being with you so much that I just want you up here with me. And all of a sudden, one day, he's just like not there anymore, and he's up in heaven. You know that one of the characteristics he had was that he was a humble man. It says in Psalms 34, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, the NIV says, and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Now, you would think for a guy who got translated to heaven without dying, one of only two people to do it, that there would be just all this stuff written about Enoch's life. He'd be on the front of Wheaties boxes. He'd have all sorts of, you know, people wanting his face on their advertising, you know, Enoch soap, the I Enoch. But instead, Elijah gets all sorts of chapters written about him. He only gets four verses, one in Hebrews and two in Jude. So maybe it tells us that he was just kind of a humble and kind of a quiet guy. Now, I don't know if I would call myself humble or quiet. One time, I was sitting around the house, and I noticed that my nose, which if you'll look at me, is already big enough. I noticed that my nose, like, it hurt. Almost like my skin was being, like, stretched. So I kind of, like, start touching my nose, and it feels like it's, like, a little bigger. And so I asked my wife, Lisa, I said, would you look at my nose? Like, my nose, like, doesn't feel right. She said, it doesn't look right either. And she didn't mean, like, it always doesn't look right, which is true, but, like, it looked worse than normal. And she said, you ought to go down to your emergency care. So I get in my car, drive down there, and he looks at me, says, you know, you probably got some kind of staph infection in your nose. And he said, if you don't treat it like right away, that thing could go into your brain and you are dead. I said, okay, that doesn't sound real good. What do I have to do? He says, I'm going to have to give you a couple shots, and they're going to go on the back side of you. You know what I mean? And they're going to hurt, like, a lot. But it's better than this staph infection going to your brain. So I say, okay, all righty. So I get in the position necessary to have these shots given. And he, bam, hits me with both of these shots. And then he says, okay. He says, do you want to, like, sit down? And I'm like, no. I'm thinking in my head, I'm Macho Man. I'm fine. I took those two shots, no problem. Walk over to the pay place, and I'm writing my check. How much do I owe? And as I'm standing there writing, all of a sudden I notice that I don't feel good all of a sudden. And I'm like, first I kind of put my elbow on the counter. I'm going, okay, you're going to make it, Macho Man. And then I say to the checkout lady, I said, I think I might want to sit down. So I kind of make my way over to the chair, and I'm sitting down, and then I decide, I think I better lay down. So when I think about humility, I remember that story. And no matter how macho I might feel, in reality, it only takes a couple shots, and I'm laying down. But Enoch was a humble man. And that allowed him to walk with God. Now, how about his strength? This guy walked with God for 300 years. I mean, are you kidding me? That is a really, really long time to walk with God. Would you guys agree with me? I mean, it's hard enough just to make it for, like, the amount of time that we got to walk with God, which might be 60, 70, 80 years. I mean, that's a long time to walk with God. He's got to walk with God for 300 years. So how does he do it? Write down, his strength was faith. In the book of Hebrews, it talks about Enoch. In fact, he's right up there at the in the front of the list of those that make the Faith Hall of Fame. It says, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then this famous scripture follows right after the scripture about Enoch. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder. Everyone say rewarder. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Well, the first question is, do you believe in God? That's where faith starts. You know, the Bible never goes about proving that God exists. It just assumes that God exists. Right off the very bat in Genesis, in the beginning, God. The Bible is not a book of all these proofs of why God exists. Everywhere is the assumption that God does exist. And so if you're in here tonight and you're just beginning your spiritual journey and you're not really sure who God is or what he's like or if there even is a God, let me assure you, there is a God. And he's a good God. He loves you and he wants you to know him. But it also says that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. If you're going to walk with God, you have to believe that God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Because you're going to go through times in your life when you're walking with God and you're seeking God, and it appears that God is not a rewarder of those that seek him. And you're going to wonder, and you're going to say, God, I don't get it. I served you. I did such and such. And now life's looking like this. I don't get it. But you have to believe by faith, just like Enoch did, that whether or not you see the rewards the way that you want them. Before I came tonight, I flipped on the news, and they're talking about this giant Powerball jackpot. It's like, what is it? 500 million? Is that what it is? 500 million. I could think a thing or two to do with that. So they're asking people, like, you know, what are you going to do if you win this jackpot? And sometimes serving God feels like you got the jackpot ticket, you got all excited, but you didn't win. And when that happens, it's really easy to stop walking with God. Or even if you're still with God, you're not pedaling hard anymore. You're just kind of coasting. You're disappointed. Things didn't work out the way that you wanted them to. I'm sure Enoch had those times. I'm sure Enoch, when he looked around him and saw the way that people were living and that things were getting worse, it must have really grieved his spirit. I'm sure there's people that he witnessed to and he prayed for and they died without God. I'm sure there were times when he thought, is he really a rewarder? Is it really worth it? Are you kidding me? But he kept walking with God. And we need to ask God, God, give us the kind of faith that even if on this earth we never see a reward, that we believe that you're a rewarder and that someday we're going to see a reward. And that the earth is not about fairness, but heaven is about perfect fairness. And in heaven, everything will be made right and justice will be perfect. And you'll get the reward that you deserve for walking with God, even if you never see it here. Don't give up when you don't see the reward now, because he is a God who rewards. He does see. He does remember. He never forgets. He's never in debt to any man, and he will reward you. And then lastly, the secret, alone and together. Well, first of all, alone. We don't know how many people walked with God along with Enoch. It's possible that no one did. And the question for you and I is this: what if we had to walk with God totally alone? You know, we're so privileged. We're in the time when great churches, we've got a great church we can be a part of. But what if you had to walk with God all by yourself? Do you have the kind of walk that could make it? Do you have the kind of walk that if friends around you forsook God, would you keep walking with God? Enoch walked with God, possibly, maybe, alone. We don't know. But the other side of it is the together side. Thank God that I don't have to walk with God alone. Thank God that we're a part of the revival generation. People are getting saved. We can be a part of a great church. I've got a great small group that I'm a part of, my 242 Sunday school, where every week I'm around people who are growing in God and they're encouraging me to grow in God. And when I'm going through a hard time, they're there and they're encouraging me and they're sending me a little email or giving me a hug or letting me know, Roger, we're praying for you. You don't have to do it alone. And if you're doing it alone, why are you doing it by yourself? God meant for this Christian walk to be a family affair. We're the family of faith. Who are you walking with? Because although you have to be ready to walk alone, if you had to, you don't have to walk alone. So don't do it. Get in a group. Get with people who will help to encourage you and help you take the next step up. Why don't you stand to your feet? We've got a few extra minutes, and what I wanted us to do was to go back into worship again and just to ask ourselves, ask the Holy Spirit to search our hearts, how's your walk? Men, how's your walk? Men, are you leading your home? Are you leading your kids if you have kids? Are you known in your extended family as a man of God? How about your destination? What's your destination look like? Are you a distracted kind of person? Then maybe tonight you could just say, God, I'm a distracted kind of person, but I want to just put a few moments aside right now. Are you a person that needs to carve out
time? We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.